So we left off last time. We started the section in Perek Aleph of Perek Shira about the sados, about the fields. So again, a quick review. So we spoke about the fact that the fields, when speaking, quote a pasuk from Mishlei, so to speak. And in that pasuk in Mishlei, they say, Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz, Hashem founded the land with wisdom. He established the heavens with understanding. So we're focusing again a little bit more as to what exactly is the wisdom of the earth. So again, just a quick review. So we're focusing on the actual creation, specifically of the trees, right? The earth, remember, we're focusing on the trees, even though, again, we'll speak about trees separately in Perek Shira, is because ultimately, again, the trees are produced from the earth. Meaning at the end of the day, remember, the pasuk was Vayomer Elokim Tashe Aret Desha Esav Mazria Zera Eitz Pri Ose Pri. The command is to the earth, right? The command to the earth was Eitz Pri Ose Pri. So again, quick review. What was the original plan? Fruit trees that taste like fruit, right? The fruit tastes like fruit. Good. And what happened? Eitz Ose Pri. Good. The trees taste like trees. The fruit tastes like fruit. So we saw the Maharal. Maharal's explanation of this dynamic was. Sorry?
They weren't able to comply.
Not like Rashi seems to indicate, which Rashi doesn't mean, of course, that they didn't comply, that there was like an act of defiance, but they couldn't comply. Why couldn't they comply?
Because,
but why? Good. No perfection in this world. At the end of the day, remember again, the concept of fruit trees that taste like fruit is a din in perfection. Everything is perfect, harmonious. The sweetness is tasted throughout. That type of perfection exists in the Shamayim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but does not exist in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us an incredible lesson. There is no perfection in this world. Yes?
So why did you say that that was
punished? So the Maharal actually discusses that. So he says, he has a whole piece. I'm not going to do another. You look at the end of paragraph Dalid. I skipped it yesterday, but the Maharal discusses this. Excellent question. So we have an idea of perfection. So the idea of perfection is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, imperfection in this world. That's the lesson that's being taught. So if you think about this, a dramatically incredible lesson, because it totally resets what we aspire to. We don't aspire for perfection. Why not? Impossible. Exercise in futility. You cannot be perfect. So what do we aspire towards? What would you say?
What?
I'm sorry? Improvement is an excellent answer, right? At the end of it, what I aspire towards is to be better than what I am now. But what's the end goal? What's the end goal?
Closest to perfection.
So that's an interesting answer. So who agrees with that? Closest to perfection as possible? Good. You know, I took it for granted. You agree with what you said? Good. So this is so. What does that mean, close to perfection? How would you define that? Then how do you measure that?
Oh,
you want to say improvement? I've improved enough.
Right.
So setting an expectation of closest to perfection as possible essentially means you're never going to get there. So meaning you're trying literally until your last breath. Good. Any other suggestions? So good. So the truth is, so close to perfection is one approach. And again, the svara of that is, it's not measurable. But that's the point, right? The goal is that you should create an expectation for yourself, the great, that is, so to speak, not measurable, because this way you keep growing. Other possibility is to become the best version of yourself, right? Well said. So how do you define that? No one thinks about this stuff, right?
So
this is an issue. We're going to come to this hashkafic debate a little bit. We're going to see in the context of Perek Shira, which is essentially in life, should I be kind of like a grand vision thinker or a moment to moment thinker? In other words, so a grand vision thinker would say, yes.
Wouldn't that be a matter of your own personality?
So that could be. That could be. But before even we get to the subjectivity of it, just like as a general hashkafic question. So should I create for myself in life like these overarching goals? Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to be. Or do I focus much more on now?
Yeah.
Now.
I feel like it's
much harder to achieve your goals if it's like a vision. Like if you just do, yeah, like in the moment.
So there's one school of thought that says, the truth is, the problem with making long-term kind of grand goals, what's the problem making long-term grand goals? Is sometimes they're really hard to quantify. What else? What else is the problem? I'm sorry?
You get discouraged,
right? Anytime you're working towards something long-term, there are so many obstacles that could come up. Good, what else?
I don't think it's impossible to make little steps if you don't have a bigger picture.
Oh, so the truth is, we're going to see that there's kind of going to have to be a little bit of a hybrid model that may absolutely depend person to person. There are some people who spend their lives planning long-term things. Long-term things. And often what ends up happening with people like that is they're such incredible future planners and that they totally go ahead and forget about the present. And then there are some people who are hyper-focused on living in the present, but don't really give all that much thought to where they want their life to be in the future. So it's this incredible hybrid of the two. On one hand, a person has to think, I have to have long-term goals. Because if I don't have long-term goals, then what? What am I doing? Like, what am I working on? How do I measure my success? Where am I going towards without long-term goals? On the flip side, those long-term goals must have increments of kind of what we'll call present measurability. So to have a long-term goal that's 5-10 years down the road, that's fantastic. What are you doing today? What am I doing now? So I'm bringing this up because we're going to see that this is going to play out also within Perek Shira, and it's actually going to play out towards the end of this shir. So okay, so we have the Maharal. Perfection is not in this world. So what am I working? If I'm not working for perfection, I'm working towards something that's not perfection. Closest to perfection, best version of myself, maximizing my day, making long-term plans. Okay, but recognizing that I will never be perfect. And this is incredibly important because recognizing that you're not perfect, why is it such a powerful realization? Besides the fact that it creates a good humility, why is it also incredibly important? Recognizing that you're not important allows you to do what?
To actually grow.
Excellent. Because if I think that I'm perfect, if I think I can reach a level of perfection, there's no more growth necessary. Good. What else?
It allows you to try new things without being afraid of making
mistakes. Excellent. Allows you to try new things without being afraid of failure. What else? Something major. I mean, these are also major, but another thing that's major, which is what? What does it allow me to do? Yes?
Turn to Hashem, who is perfect.
Turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is perfect. Excellent. What else? What happens to people very often after they fail at something? They stop trying. Why do they stop trying? What's the psychology of stopping to try after you fail?
You can't do it.
You think you can't do it. Good. Why else? You don't want to fail again. Why not?
It's hard to move past failure.
Because a lot of times, when I fail at something, I feel like a failure. Listen to these words again. You know, sometimes I fail at something. Whatever it is, you could fill in the blank. Right? I failed at X. So there are two ways that you could look at failing at X. I failed at X, but I'm still a success in life. Or because I failed at X, therefore, I am a failure. And many people walk around life with feelings of being a failure. We all fail at stuff. Inevitably, we all fail at stuff. But failing at something doesn't make me a life failure. Yet so many times people feel that if they fail at something, oh, I'm a failure. And once you feel like a failure, what happens? What happens? You act like a failure. This is exceptionally important. You know, we have a mitzvah of tochacha, right? A mitzvah of tochiach, tochiach esam isecha. To rebuke someone. So the word rebuke, what does it sound like? What does it sound like to rebuke someone? What does it sound like to you? How would you do that? You would tell them off, right? It sounds like you would yell at them, tell them. So of course, that's not the mitzvah of chacha. How do I know that's not the mitzvah of chacha? What happens? You ever have a situation where you have to give someone musr about something, or maybe you've received musr or received rebuke about something? If somebody yells at you, right? How do you feel? That you don't want to listen. Why? Because no one wants to be made to feel like a nothing. And when you make people feel like a nothing, after enough time, they will act like a nothing. So the mitzvah of a chacha is to give constructive feedback to someone in an effort to make themselves better, but you have to know how to do that. At the end of the day, the reason why knowing that I'm not perfect is so important is because when I fail, I'm not a failure. It's an expectation. Of course I'm going to fail. In fact, I'll tell you something else that's probably a staggering statement. You will fail at most of the things you do in life, at least the first time. People don't like to hear this because we have this expectation that we're all going to be successful in everything, right? Do the right thing, dive in the right way, you're always going to be successful. It's not true. It's the way that life happens. More often than not, we often fail at many things the first time. Now, again, the goal is pick yourself back up, try again, do a little bit better. But lemaisa, at the end of the day, most of us fail the first time we do anything. And this is true in almost everything in life. But if I realize that I'm not perfect, if I drive home this yesod, I'm not perfect, then failure is okay. Failure is not a bad thing. That is part and parcel of who I am. Part of being an imperfect being is the realization that I am going to fail, probably often and probably repeatedly. My job is to learn from the failures and Amir Hashem try to do a little bit better next time. So now watch this. So that's what we have from the Adama. So the question is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu create an imperfect world? Meaning, so you see this tension. You see this tension. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let the earth bring forth an eitz pri osepri. Let the earth bring forth an eitz pri osepri. But the earth doesn't comply. Instead, the earth brings forth an eitz osepri. Why? Like, obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this, there's a message in this. What's the message? I'll show you something amazing. Take a look at number 7, the Derech Hashem. So Derech Hashem writes something, such a beautiful idea. He says, V'alkein, gozar v'sider, sheyivru'u inyane shlemos v'inyane chisarum. So Derech Hashem writes, and this is incredible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things that are perfect and things that are imperfect, right? Look around the world. What's imperfect? What's imperfect? Hard to ask you. Look, what's imperfect in the world?
Everything.
Right? Everything is a good answer, right? Or is meaning it'd be much easier to answer what's perfect in the world, right? And that's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose presence in the world is perfect. Everything else is imperfect. So the Derech Hashem asks a very profound question: why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively create an imperfect world? Why do this? There's so much imperfection. And by the way, so much of the imperfection is heartbreaking. So much of the imperfection is so painful. So much of the imperfection is so difficult to live with and to look at and to experience. Why create a world like this? So look what he writes. This is so profound. The Alkin Gazer v'sidr shivru inyone shlimus inyone chisaron. The Shvaruch Hu created a world in which there are things that are shalim and things that are deficient. V'tivra beria or bria shiyiyeh baha efsharus lishnei ha'inyonim b'shaveh v'yitnu lebriya emsoim sha'al yadam tikna li'atzma es hashlimus v'tadir mimeno es hachasronos v'yaz yikra shenis dame b'mashia efshar lo lebora v'tzir u'yir lehidabik bo u'leinos b'tubo. So let me tell you this a little bit outside and a little bit of maybe a take on the Derech Hashem. What Derech Hashem is saying is essentially that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that the imperfections are not by design. That the imperfections, maybe they're a result of chet, maybe they're a result of this. So the Derech Hashem says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. Why? Think about this in just a moment. If the world was perfect and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here, then what would be the $1 million question? Why am I here? So instead, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He created the imperfect world. And what's my job in this world? What's my job? This is incredibly important. What's my job?
Save the world.
Save the world is a tall order. Right? Good. Maybe on some level, my job is to identify the imperfect.
The morning.
I have to run out to a meeting afterwards today. Cold.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. I'll remember this time.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. So what's the logic? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is showing us something absolutely amazing, which is if I created a world that was perfect, and you come and you sit here, you're going to be bored, there's nothing to do. So instead, what did I do? I created a world that is riddled and filled with imperfections. And what's your job? Your job is to roll up your sleeves and to try to do something about it. Your job when you see the imperfections is to say to yourself, what can I do to make the world a little bit of a better place? But says the Derech Hashem something amazing. And when you do that, When you look at the imperfections of the world, and instead of just lamenting them, you ask yourself, what can I do? And you step up, and you roll up your sleeves, and you make the world a little bit better, what are you doing in essence? You are partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creative process. Says Derech Hashem something so incredibly amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, listen, I did my part, I created the world. But there's no free lunches, right? There's no free rides. If you want a place in this world, you have to partner with me in the creative process. So you say to yourself, how can you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creative process? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do? He purposely leaves certain things undone. He leaves certain things in an unrefined state, in an unfinished state, in a difficult or compromised state, and says to us, rise to the occasion. Rise to the occasion. Partner with me and do something. I'm going to show you something amazing. Take a look at number 8. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says something so incredibly amazing. The Mishnah says, "Histakel b'shlosha dvarim." So, before we actually do the Mishnah, so I want to tell you something amazing, because what this does is, I think, fundamentally changes the way we look at the world. Because a lot of times, when we look at the world and we see something that's broken, so what's often our reaction? What's our reaction to seeing something that's broken? I'm sorry? So, okay, you're a tzaddikus, right? Your reaction is that most people, what's their reaction when they see something broken? Right? It's broken. Kind of the same way if you do a social experiment and you leave a piece of garbage on the floor over here. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, by the end of the day, it'll still be there. Because the nature of most people is, they see stuff, okay, you know, yeah, it's garbage. Wow, I can't believe somebody should really throw out, people should really throw out their garbage. Right, that's one of them. People should really be more clean. Why don't you just bend down and just pick it up? Nah, I'm on my way to something. The derech of people is that when they see something that's broken, they generally go ahead and lament it and move on. Yes? In every sense. You could look around the world and you could see that there's things that are broken all the time. Somebody's ill. That's a form of something broken. Their health is broken. Somebody doesn't have shalom bayis. The shalom bayis is broken. Somebody doesn't have money. Their parnasa is broken. Society lacks civility. Society is broken. But again, I want to be clear. We're not saying that something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is deficient. I want to be very clear on this. The Derech Hashem is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these deficiencies by design. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created a perfect world. Remember, again, as much as we're saying the earth couldn't comply with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted it to be an Eitz Pri Yosef Ri, a perfect world, and the earth couldn't comply. Is that true? The earth couldn't comply?
No.
No. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be fruit trees that taste like fruit, what could he have done? So remember again, everything that happens, nothing happens outside of the Ratzon Hashem. So which means that the whole thing is a set, I say setup, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting the stage for us. So yes, you look around the world and every single time you see something that is imperfect, that is a deficiency created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
That's not how Hashem created the world. Adam and Chava sinned and then all that stuff came to the world.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreated the world after Adam and Chava also. Meaning, so is that happened independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The way the world's set up is often dictated by how we behave, but it all happens under Hashkachas Hashem, and even under Adam and Chava, right? Why is it that there was something that was Aser? Right? There's always in this world, nothing is ever completely on one level. There's always a peak and there's always a valley. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have also just not created an Eitz Das Tov V'Ra. Right? If he just wanted to create complete simplicity and complete perfection, just create a gun filled with trees and you can eat everything you want. The fact that even if something is mutter, something is usher from the beginning, indicates that there is a disconnect, is the wrong word, but I'll call it an imperfection, an imbalance in the world. So what was Adam and Chava's job? What was their job?
To keep
the balance. That's your job. There's an imbalance, because there's something that's usher in the world, there's an imbalance. Your job is keep the balance. They didn't keep the balance. So what happens after they didn't keep the balance? Just the imbalance becomes more pronounced. That's really, really, again, remember, what's the curse of Adam and Chava? The imbalance becomes amplified. The earth doesn't respond as you want it to. Parnassah becomes more difficult. Childbirth, which I guess in the original form of things was a pleasant experience, now becomes again more difficult and more painful. The imbalance is just amplified, but the imbalance was there from the beginning. So, what's incredible to see is, what the Derech Hashem is saying is, Although natural human inclination is sometimes to say, when I see an imperfection, I krechts, right? I terrible, right? Ploni is sick, nebuch, right? This one has shalom, but I hear problems, and often my reaction is, nebuch. Now, by the way, that's good, because at least you feel something, that's good. Tarech Hashem says, no. When you hear something, right, so we'll expand on this a little bit, when you see the imperfections, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispering in your ear, do something. If you hear it, do something. You know, I'll just kind of, yes. Oh, so hold on to that for just a second. Now let me show you the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, because we're going to see what we're supposed to do in just a moment. Histakel b'shalosh ha'dvarim. So the Mishnah says, look at three things and you will not come to sin. V'yatabali de'avera. What are the three things? Dam alam al mimcha. No, what is above you? Ayin roa, a seeing eye. Ozen shoma'as, a listening ear. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavin. And ultimately, again, all of your deeds are written down. All of your deeds are written down in a book. So the truth is that we normally... What's the message of this Mishnah? What's the message? Someone's always watching. And the truth is, this is the message of Shabisi Hashem Menegdi Summit. This is the message of God awareness. God awareness. Know every single thing you do. This, by the way, this isn't supposed to be a scary Mishnah. It's supposed to be an inspiring Mishnah. Because I recognize that I am privileged to live every moment in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, it could be a little bit scary, a little bit overwhelming, but what it also does is it gives me the ability to know that everything I do in the presence of my Father. That creates, of course, a heightened level of awareness, a heightened level of behavior, but it's incredible nevertheless. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something different. He understands it as follows. He understands, Histakel b'shalosh ha'dvarim, v'yatabal lidei avera. We translate avera often as sin. But the truth is, the Maharal actually discusses this in Gur Aryeh as well. The etymological source of Avera, the etymological root, really means deficiency, emptiness, a void, which makes sense. What's the greatest ramification of sinning? The greatest ramification? Distancing yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, the greatest ramification of sin is not the onesh. It's not the punishment. Because the truth is, there are ways that you could do tshuva and get out of the punishment. The greatest ramification of sin is that it divests me of holiness. When I commit an avera, I'm emptying myself of kedusha. Not fully, but I'm emptying myself of some of my kedusha. Avera doesn't just simply mean sin. Avera means emptiness. Emptiness, there's a void. When I commit a negative act, I empty, if I'm like a vessel, I'm a utensil, I try to fill myself with as much kedusha as possible, and when I sin, I pour out some of that kedusha. So the Baal Shem Tov says, what the Mishnah is teaching me, and again, you see this somewhat that I quoted for you in number 9, I told this Yaakov Yosef, but I'm going to tell you this outside. Look at three things. V'ata ba lidei avera. So, number one, look at three things, and you will not come to be a deficient person. What are the three things? So, first of all, number one, which is not really part of the three, it's a general introductory statement. Da malamala mimcha. Now, what does that mean, da malamala mimcha? Know what is above you. So, what, on a basis of what does that seem to be teaching us? Hashem is here, right? God awareness. If you take a look at number 9, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef writes about this. This is Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy, who was one of the primary Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. He writes his father, "Pamim meirov anava ha'adam misrachek me'avodas habore ki biyoso shafal berucho eneno mamin shebetfilaso betaraso gorim shefa le'alyonim va'af hamalochim nizonin me'avodas ha'bekodesh." Says Toldos Yaakov Yosef, so often in life, the reason why people fall off the spiritual wagon and become uninterested in their Yiddishkeit and in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because I don't think I matter. I don't think I matter. It matters to God what I do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe in God. But it matters to Him what I do. My day-to-day life makes a difference. My averus, my mitzvos somehow move the gauge at all, move the needle at all. It doesn't make any sense. I'm one person. I'm one person in a world, in a whole world of people. What I do doesn't really make a difference. Ilu ha'em in kacha, ma'od ha'isa mis'ameitz la'ovdo b'yira b'simcha me'rov kol, v'haya nishar u'mizdareiz b'chol o'she motzi mi'piv, if I actually believed how much I matter, how differently I would behave. Therefore, it says that told the Siak of Yosef in the last paragraph of number 9. V'zeh sha'atana mizareis da, Adam, ki kol ma shalamala, kol ha-shefa b'tzva'os elyonim hu mimcha. So this is such an incredible interpretation. Da malamala mimcha doesn't just simply mean no, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above you. Da malamala mimcha means da, no, malamala. What happens? The koach that exists in the elyon elyonim, in the celestial sphere, mimcha, is from you. What we do makes a difference. What we do makes a difference not just to us. What we do makes a difference not just in our immediate vicinity, but what we do makes a difference even in the celestial sphere by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that opening phrase sets the stage for teaching me, I matter. I matter. And every single thing I do matters as well. So what does the rest of the Mishnah teach me? So now that I know that I matter, and now that I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world, He created an imperfect world perfectly, the deficiencies are there like the Derech Hashem said why? To enable me to partner with God in the creative process to make a difference. Therefore what? Watch this. Ayin Roa, know as follows. Ayin Roa, the Baal Shem Tov Min says, if you see something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to see it. If you see something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to see it. Ozen Shomas, if you hear something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to hear it. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to see it? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to hear it? If I see it, it's because God says, I want you to see it because you can do something about it. If you hear it, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can do something about it. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Which means, at the end of the day, how do you measure a successful life? Goes back to our question we talked about before. How do you measure success? Success is measured by how much you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to address the deficiencies that he left in this world. This is the meaning of the Mishnah. Da malamala mimcha. No, everything you do matters. Ayin ra'ah. If you see something, if you see something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to see it. So if you see something broken, why is God allowing you to see that broken thing? Why? Fix it. Do something. You hear about something that is broken. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to hear about that broken thing? Do something. How do you measure a successful life? The tachlis of our lives in this world is to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to fix the things that are deficient. I don't know if we have to go so far as to save the world. It's not my job to save the world in its entirety. It's a good aspiration. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me to hear something and to see something, that is by design. That is not haphazard. And if I hear something or see something that is broken, that is deficient, HaKadosh, that's an invitation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to partner with him and do my best to fix it in some way. Now, it's a beautiful idea, but lemaisa, someone asked before, lemaisa, how do you do this? So I'll give you an example of this. I was just thinking about this today. I don't know how many of you follow along the news. I mentioned this in my, I teach a class for women downstairs in WIT. Before this class, I was talking about this before. There was a heartbreaking news item. It's not going to sound heartbreaking when I first say it, but it's crazy. There is a non-kosher fast food chain called Popeyes. Popeyes. So Popeyes, they serve chicken. That's kedarkam b'kodesh, that's what they do. They serve chicken. They introduced a new sandwich a while ago. I don't know, spicy something, whatever. And it was so popular that they ran out. They ran out of it. Totally ran out of it. So they just made a whole big to-do. They just began to resupply it. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal that speaking about fights that broke out in Popeyes across the country over this chicken sandwich. People were waiting in line. They got into a fight about cutting lines. Right? People began getting out of their cars and trying to climb through drive-through windows because they thought that the people serving it weren't working fast enough. There was a fatal stabbing. A person stabbed another person over a chicken sandwich. So you hear this. So if you hear this, so let me ask you, What's your reaction to this? So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to see this new story. Sounds, by your reaction, something many of you did not see this new story. So Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to see this new story. So what was, so what's the reaction? What's the reaction?
Pathetic.
Right? So again, so pathetic is a reaction. But the that's, by the way, true. But isn't that like seeing the tissue on the floor and saying, you know, people really have to be more mindful of their cleanliness in this place. Right? What kind of girls go here? How could they leave a tissue on the floor? It's true. It is pathetic. And you can say the bracha of Shalom Sani Goy even with a greater amount of kavana. 100%. But is that... But again, what did we just learn? What did we just learn? If I see something broken, then ultimately, because Rav was he's telling me something, yes?
That sometimes, if we're getting all upset, you have to understand what actually caused it and realize that it might be less significant.
So, excellent. Number one, it could be giving me an insight in general. When you hear someone stab and kill another human being over a chicken sandwich, so you say, that's craziness. How often do we get angry? Gosh, not to the point of stabbing people, but how often do we get angry to the point that we totally lose it over things that are not really all that much more important than a chicken sandwich? Excellent. So you see, because Baruch Hu showing me there's something majorly deficient, something majorly broken that's happening in this world of stuff like this could happen. So because Baruch Hu, I'm going to hear it, see, it means I have to do something. So maybe it's a message to me about Kas. Good, what else? There was another hand that was up. No? Any other suggestions? What else can you do with this? No other ideas what to do with my Popeye story. Mamish. So I think there's something even simpler. Civility. It isn't what the takeaway message from this is. And you see this, by the way, in society in general. You see this in politics. You see this in many... Civility in society is so compromised. Being nice to people, being courteous to people, being kind to people. I can't save the world, right? And I probably can't bring back civility to society. But if I'm hearing this story about such a fundamental lack and breach of civility, maybe the message is that I have to bring a bit more civility to the world. And so maybe my response to this, Kadosh Baruch Hu is allowing me to hear this or to see this, my response is, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu just showed me a breakdown of civility. Fine, the message is clear. I have to work on bringing back more civility into my life, into my mishpacha, into my classroom, into my school, into my shul, into my world. Well, you could plug whatever the blank. But I'm pointing out to you that it's such a dramatically different lens through which to see the world. So instead, I think very often we see these things and we say, terrible, pathetic, disgusting, horrible, all true. But the question is, when you go through life, are you the person who passes by the tissue and says, wow, people really need to be better? Or are you the person who cleans the floor and picks up the tissue? Now, maybe dirty tissue is not the best example of this, right? But there really are two different kinds of people. There are tissue passers and tissue picker-uppers, right? Two different kinds of people. People who see stuff that is broken and they say, oh, terrible, terrible. People really have to get their act together and move on with their lives. And people who say, wow, that's really sad that someone's littering like that. Let me try to clean up my space just a little bit more. And the truth is, that's the lens, says the Baal Shem Tov, through which you see the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. The imperfections are by design. Why? Because the imperfections are what allow us to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation process. So therefore, if you hear something, you see something, you experience something, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's invitation to me to help make the world a little bit better. And to kind of, give me 1 second, just to kind of round this out. This is the wisdom of the fields. Going back now to number one. Sados Omrim. The fields say, Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz koning Hashem b'suna. What is the chachma of the fields? The chachma of the fields is the chachma that the land first taught us with the fruit trees. There is no perfection in this world. Perfection is only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only source of perfection. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. Why? So as to give us an invitation and opportunity to partner with Him in the creative process. If you see something broken, your job is not to krechts or to lament. Your job is to try to do something. Now, by the way, sometimes the only thing you can do is daven. And that's incredible. But even that is doing something. Sometimes you could actually do something, roll up your sleeves, and actually do something. Different circumstances require different things. But that's the chachma of the sados. The sados teach us that Hashem Baruch Hu created the imperfect world perfectly. The imperfections are your invitation, ultimately, to partner with God in the creative process. Duh, malamala mimcha. Know that what you do is meaningful. If you see it, if you hear it, that is the invitation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to partner and to do something from it. And how do you gauge successful life? The more you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to perfect the imperfections of the world, that is the direct metric or litmus test, the metric or the litmus test of successful living. Question.
So, but then the thing is, let's say there's a big problem in a society that, and doing something on an individual basis, it might help a little teeny bit, but it won't help other people who are suffering from the problem.
All you could do in life is do what you can do. Right? So if all you could do is to borrow your help a little teeny bit, then that's what you're going to do. Better than nothing. Right? Not suggesting that picking the tissue up off the floor is going to stop people from arguing over chicken sandwiches at Popeyes. But at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to see a fundamental breakdown of something. And I know that I have to react. And again, remember, this goes in line with, you never know the impact of your actions.
But is there anything that we could do to help the society as a larger whole, and should we try to?
So absolutely, but I think what people sometimes forget is that most effective change starts grassroots. Right, fundamental change usually starts by individuals changing things and then it catching on. So the best thing you could always do in life is model the right kind of behavior and recognize that you are an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever you go. Wherever you go. You know, this sometimes it's a little bit easier for men than it is for women on the ambassador part because we're a little bit more recognizably Jewish. I just had this situation like this yesterday. I was out of town in a part that did not have a lot of Jews, and I stopped at a gas station just to get something to drink. And the guy behind the counter, this was like, I wasn't in West Virginia, but it felt like West Virginia. So I'm just like, yeah. So the guy, long ponytail, he's like, oh, you're Jewish. So I always get nervous when someone says, oh, you're Jewish. So in the middle of nowhere, I said, yes. He said, I like you people. So he said, I'm just curious, why do you like us? I said, because that's not usually the reaction we get, you know. I like you people. He said, you know, in this part, we get very few Jewish people. He said, but whenever one of you guys comes in with one of those hats, yarmulkes, right, says, you people always say thank you. He must have said you people like 15 times, right? You people always say thank you. I have no idea who the Jews were who came in before me, but what an incredible thing. So in some remote corner of Maryland, right, there's a guy who has no interactions with Jews, yet the number of Jews he's met on one hand, right, has told him Jews are courteous. Jews are courteous. So somebody made a decision to say thank you. Again, you could go in and out of a convenience store and never say thank you, and the truth is a lot of people do that. But if you take that time to go out and do those little things, you do make a difference in society. You absolutely do. So what appears to you to be something small or insignificant absolutely affects change. How do you affect global change or societal change? I don't know. That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that. But I would venture to say that sometimes, just like we were talking about before, don't spend your life making 50-year plans, but make your life making plans for today. So I think it's the same thing with change. Don't worry about how you're going to change the world. You know, there's the famous statement of Rav Chaim Zanzer, the Zanzer of the Divrei Chaim, who said, when I was young, I thought I was going to change the world. As I got a little bit older, I said I was going to change my country. As I got a little bit older, I said I was going to change my city. As I got a little bit older, I said I was going to change my town. As I got older, I was going to change my family. He said, now that I'm an old man, I'll be happy if I could change myself. That was the Divrei Chaim, of Chaim of Sanz, the great tzaddik. So the great tzaddik also, everybody has dreams and aspirations of changing the world. But at the end of the day, you change the world by changing yourself. You partner with God on the pieces that you can, and through that you change the world. Yes?
Also, just simply like, when you realize the world doesn't really know, you're able to interact with people a lot better because you don't take
100%. We didn't even touch on this, but it's so true. The ability to forge interpersonal and interact with people and forge relationships is so much better when you accept that everybody's imperfect. So somebody says something you don't like, somebody acts in a way you don't like, maybe something you don't like, it's okay. Maybe he's having a bad day. This is his imperfection. I've had that also. 100% true. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Next time we'll continue Parak Aleph on Monday.